of them. Yes, I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say, oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say, one of them. I'd be ashamed to say I wasn't one of them. Are you glad you're one of them this morning? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Did you enjoy service here last night? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Wasn't it wonderful? Amen. Well, we're back this morning, and we're getting ready to do it all over again. Now, how many of you come with church on your mind, along with your other 50,000 thoughts that you're going through right now? We got church on our mind too. Let's wipe all them other things away. Let's do church right now. You do all that other stuff when we get out of church. But let's have church today. Why don't you look at somebody? If you want to shake their hand, that would be great. If you don't, tell them, God bless you. Good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Play some more of that, guys.
Seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin.
Yes,
that will start the joy bells ringing and will keep your soul aflame.
It is
burning now within my heart, all glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
I want you to say it like you believe it. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. ordained to believe what I believe right now. Before the foundation of the world, you are ordained to be here. Are you glad you're one of them? Amen. You fit into God's plan. Whatever His plan is for your life, it's going to be good. I do promise you that. We'll just be patient. Let Him work on us. Get all the green out of us. Oh, He's going to make a real good vegetable out of every one of us. I believe that. Don't you? Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes this morning while we look at our prayer request. Brother Fred, I want you to get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests this morning, if you would. Just in a minute. Brother Byron Palmer says to please remember him in prayer. He's recovering from a stomach virus. So let's remember him today as we pray all those in our assembly that's going through the flu and viruses, different things. Let's remember them as well. Brother Terry Stockton says to please remember Daniel Stockton. Right hip pain makes it hard for him to walk. So let's remember that prayer request as we pray today. Sister Lisa Cutts says to please pray for my father, Brother Bob Simpkins, having a heart procedure this coming Tuesday. So we want to remember him today as we pray. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says to please pray for Brother Emmanuel and Sister Carol Wade, both sick. Also pray for Levi Holmes. Let's remember those requests this morning. This was sent to the library from a Tanya Van Logrenberg. Please have the church pray for God's touch and a bodily element. I believe that you are a Book of Acts church. What a good compliment. What a compliment. Do you believe that this morning? Praying for you all. May God bless you. So let's remember that request today as we pray. Sister Brenda Harmon and Rachel Estep, both sick in body, need a touch from the Lord. So let's remember that. We have a nice card from Brother Harvey this morning. Brother Harvey Lunsford back in service. Somebody say praise the Lord. Says, for everything you've done, for being the special people that you are, thank you so very much. I would like to thank God for being with me during my surgery. I would also like to thank everyone for all the cards, texts, calls, and the beautiful fruit basket. We are so thankful for our church family. God bless you, Brother Harvey. Well, we kind of like those folks a little bit too, don't we? Amen. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Brother Fred, if you'd come, just take us to the Lord. Let's just commit all these things unto the Lord. We appreciate Brother Fred, don't we? Amen, buddy. God bless you this morning. Appreciate you, Brother Fred. You're a good one, buddy.
Well, I don't know about all that. Y'all pray for me as I pray for you. Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this great morning, Lord, that you prepared for us. All across the world, Papa, your children are gathering together. And Lord, you see our hearts as they pour out to you, desiring your word to be placed in us, Father, that we can be a light in this world. And Father, we take these prayer requests, Lord, and we lift them to heaven, Father, to you. And you're our Papa. You listen, you hear. And though you're so big and great, bigger than the problems that we'll ever have or face in this world, oh, Papa, we love you this morning. We want to hear from you this morning, Papa. Every prayer request, Lord, every trial and everything that we go through, Lord, is so important to us. But it's more important to you as you look down upon your children. We ask you to bless them, Lord, that you would come, Lord, and give them strength by your word, your precious things, Father, that you can use for your fivefold ministry. We ask that you would bless, that you would move, and help us to see the light and see a path, to see the place that we need to be. Place us there, Father. We ask you, God, that you would touch the ministry, the missionaries across the world, Lord. Our pastor, as he's in a different place preaching to your children, that somebody, Lord, will have a move in their heart, Lord. The word could move and stir up the gifts of love in us, Lord. That we'll love one another, Father, like you love us. Father, that's one thing the church lacks, Lord, is love. Love to love one another, Father, like you love us. So, Father, as we come to you this day, Papa, have mercy on us and give us grace and let us be like you, for that's our desire. And touch, Lord, and bless every prayer request that's come before your ears this morning. Bless the musicians and the singers and the ministry this morning as it comes forth, that we could have that peace of mind to know, Father, that you're still in control. No matter which way the ship may flow or the waters of winds may blow, Father, that you're in control over our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service today, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that would be streaming this service today, we pray that it would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Brother West wanted us to make this announcement that he is sick in body today, and there will be no Bible study on Monday. So remember that. No Bible study on Monday, so remember that. Let's sing a song this morning. There's going to be a meeting in the air. And we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. He's not going to stand here on the ground. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're one of the caught up ones, ain't no telling how happy you're going to be. Nobody can put a price tag on how happy you're going to be if you're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Somebody say, I'm one of them. Give him a hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart this morning. Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home on the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. To be glorious, Lord, I do declare. God's own Son will be the leading one at the meeting in the air. Oh, there is going to be a meeting.
Never be
glorious Son preached to sinners. For the sinner has refused to heed the call. There will be no mourning or wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted.
Let's sing a little chorus just before we change the order of the service this morning. I'm amazed that you love me. For all of our situations, like Brother David preached last night, God's love is not conditional on what you do. It's not what you do, no. It's what He's done. If He's done a work in your life, you ought to be the happiest creature that's on the face of the earth today. If He has touched your life and touched your soul. What a magnificent Savior we're all serving this morning. What a magnificent place He's fixing to take you to. Did you deserve it? No. No, you didn't deserve it. But He done it because He loved you. He bought you with a price. You have been paid for. You're His. Look at somebody and say, you're His. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. Let's sing that chorus together. If Brother Brandon this morning, Sister Anna and Sister Cinda, remember how they have that group. If y'all come onto the platform, we're getting ready to sing. We want to give Brother David plenty of time to minister to us this morning. But let's sing this chorus. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Say praise the Lord. God bless you. As you're seated, give Brother Brandon a nice hand this morning as he gets ready to sing.
Y'all pray for me. Help me on this one if you know.
He
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from hell. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, His body the bread, His blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Yes, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Y'all help me. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, and the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, the Lord of all our hope is in You, all our hope is in You, all the glory. Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, He's Lord of all.
never said that I would give you silver or gold, or that you would never feel the fire or shiver in the cold. But I did say you'd never walk through this world alone. And I did say, don't make this world your home. And I never said that fear wouldn't find you in the night, or that loneliness was something you'd never have to fight. But I did say I would be there right by your side. And I did say I'll always help you fight. Every time of need, my love will be the anchor that you can hold on to. This is the promise. This is the promise I made to you. And I never said that friends would never turn their backs on you, or that the world around you wouldn't see you as a fool. But I did say, like me, you'll surely be despised. And I did say, my ways confound the wise. Never taste the bitter kiss of death, or have to walk through chilly Jordan to enter into rest. But I did say I'd be waiting right on the other side. Oh yes. And I did say I'll dry every tear. And you'll sing with the angels and a countless multitude. This is the promise. This is the promise I made to you. So just keep on walking, don't turn to the left or right. And in the midst of darkness, let this be your light. That hell can't separate us, and you're gonna make it through. This is the promise. This is the promise.
Appreciate them. We're going to sing a little chorus as Brother David gets ready to come and bring us the word of the Lord this morning. I love that guy right there. I want us to sing that chorus. I want him to do a verse of it, because I just got a real blessing out of hearing those verses. I paid attention, but not real good, like I should have. But I want us to sing that little chorus and the verse. Maybe somebody ought to testify. If you had a chance to walk through here this morning, and a lot of you die if you got right there, but if you had a chance to testify, what would be your testimony? What God's done for you is priceless. It's absolutely priceless what God's done for every one of us. Do you believe that? Somebody say it's the truth. Rest of you get woke up. We're having church here today. Come on, folks. Get ready. Get ready. Praise the Lord. Don't let 6 or 8 or 20 or 30 carry the weight of 600 people here today. Let's all have church together, okay? Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him.
Somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify.
To God. Amen. Well, if somebody's going to testify, it might as well be me. So if you don't mind, for about the next 45 minutes, I just want to give my testimony. Amen. I believe we're all going to have the same testimony one day. I was alive one moment, and the next moment my loved ones come around. And before I knowed it, a sweep come over us and we was gone. What a testimony we're going to have. Amen. We might as well start go ahead and confessing it now before we ever get there. Amen. St. John chapter 11, verse 17. I'd like to look at verse 17 tonight. I know we read this last night, but I'd like to look at it again this morning, maybe from a little bit different direction. Certainly want to thank each one of you for all the texts and the emails and the compliments that we received from the service last night. I really do appreciate it for you to be able to take the time to say something to encourage us and help us. And I really felt like I had failed last night when I left here. I was back there changing. I thought, Brother Donnie's been preaching way up here, and here I come out and just preach way down here. But then I have to believe that God calls every man different. And sometimes I think God can take a service like last night and so customize that service to speak right to your heart. He is mindful of my needs and your needs. St. John chapter 11, verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Now Mary and Martha both believed the message of the hour. That's what Brother Abraham tells us. They both was following Jesus. They'd left their churches. Now they follow Jesus. But when Jesus is coming, it's almost backwards that Martha would come and not Mary, because Brother Abraham said Mary is the type of person, she loved to lay at Jesus' feet and just hear the word. And Martha was more concerned about making sure the house was clean and everything was right and Jesus had something to eat. But when Jesus comes, the Bible said that Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And then Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last days. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection of the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then Jesus asks, believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, and she called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come, and he calleth for thee. That astounds me, because just 3 days earlier, they called for Jesus. But now Jesus has come, hallelujah, and now he's calling for her. I want the one who has sat at my feet and heard the word. Amen. The Master has come and called for thee. And as soon as she heard, she arose quickly and came unto him. The Rapture Message 1965 will just bounce off of this. But to the church, the bride, the rapture is a revelation to her. It's revealed to her that the revelation of the true bride will be waiting for that revelation of the rapture. Amen. I'd like to speak to you again this morning on that subject again. The Master has come and he calleth. Let's just bow our hearts now. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that we can declare here this morning, Lord, that you have come among us. And Lord, when you come among us, Lord, your purpose is always the same, Lord. It's to bring deliverance. It's to bring healing. It's to lift up. It's to pick up. And we're glad, Lord, that we serve a God that is, Lord, so mindful of all of our troubles. You're mindful of our needs. And Lord, we come before you today, Lord, and ask that you would just come and anoint me to the Lord with the word. Father, as I've prayed to you even last night and this morning, how much I have need of you. Lord, I'm desperate that you would come. And Lord, that you would just help me, Lord, to move aside. And Lord, take these things that you've laid upon our heart for your children today. Lord, I've never preached these things or looked at it from this direction. But Lord, you put this on my heart to bring to the church today. So Father, help me now, Lord, that I can do my part. And that's just get out of the way. Lord, may the Holy Spirit come and minister. May you minister to every heart. May you minister to every life. And Lord, we pray that you'd be with their pastor this morning. You see, Lord, as he's there ministering the gospel, we ask God that you would give him strength, strengthen his body, strengthen, Lord, Sister Carol, Lord, as they're there to bring the gospel, Lord. May it be a light to somebody, Lord. Maybe a lighthouse, Lord, that would help some ship, Lord, that has went wayward. Lord, that it can bring them back to the port of your love. We ask now, Father, that you'd be with him, Lord. Keep him, we pray. Lord, bless your children that's been gathered here today. I ask, Father, may you help us as we look into the Word. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. We understand that this story laying within the book of John is it's quite a story that lays here, but we understand that the significance of this story can be overlooked many times because of the way that it's written, maybe to some just being another story of healing, maybe just another story of deliverance. But there is something about this story I find so amazing, how that out of the four Gospels that would be written, how that they would come, Matthew, of course, Mark, then Luke, then John, and each one of those writers, we know they could only write by the anointing that they was under to be able to write what they see by. And we know that when you talk about anointings, we know that they wrote underneath the four anointings, and we know those four anointings is the anointing of a lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. But the only one that would relate this story to us concerning Lazarus being raised from the dead, the only writer that would give us this insight is the book of John. But in how that when it comes to the book of John, we know that John being such a special person that even when it was underneath the writings of Matthew, how that Matthew would write underneath that lying anointing. And the lying anointing we know is the king anointing. And so when you would read in the book of Matthew, when you read the four Gospels, when you read it in this light, it helps you to understand a little better that when Matthew began to write under that lying anointing, he would begin to write the genealogy of where Jesus come from, because that's what you do to a king. You write about his genealogy because the genealogy is so important. But then you would move from Matthew down to Mark, and Mark underneath that burden anointing, underneath that servant anointing, when he began to write from his vision of Jesus, he would write and put Jesus in the servant point of view. But then right on down to Luke, and of course Luke being underneath the man anointing, constantly talked about the man part and Jesus as a man, and how Jesus was moved to the man, suffered as a man, tempted like a man. But then the most astounding one out of all the four to me is the book of John, because when John began to write, how different it was from the book of Matthew. When Matthew went back and he began to bring the genealogy all the way from the book of Genesis down through Tamar and even to Obed of Ruth, and he comes right on down and he's bringing the genealogy through time. But when John began to write, John didn't start in the book of Genesis. John didn't start way off in the book of Ruth. But John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's because when John, being a prophet, amen, he was underneath that eagle anointing, and being an eagle, amen, he was able to look plumb back into the beginning and say, in the beginning was the Word. Because he was able by prophetic vision to be able to look back when the Word was being unfolded. He said, in the beginning was the first thing I saw was the Word. And John had a real revelation of the Godhead. He said the Word was with God and the Word was God. John didn't look up there and see four or five or six or ten, but John saw one and he was the Word. So when John began to write this underneath that anointing, I want you to notice he picks up this story of Lazarus. And we know that when you begin to look at the story of Lazarus, how that we are seeing now that underneath the ministry, the third pull of Jesus, how that Jesus had come down now, and now he's fixing to reveal himself in a way by that's astounding. And we know that we're taught according to the Word that whenever that the ministry come, that God always reveals himself in three sons' names. He reveals himself as Son of God, Son of Man, and Son of David. Now, when he would reveal himself as the Son of God, we understand that we know that when he reveals himself that way, he reveals himself to the church as the Son of God. But then we know that there's coming a ministry of the Son of David, which we know is going to take place in the millennium when he's going to reveal himself to the Jews under the ministry of Son of David. But between the church age of Son of God and right between the ministry of Son of David, there's a portion of allotted time that God's going to come down amongst the Gentiles like you and I, and and he reveals himself once again as the Son of Man. Now we understand that it's the same ministry that Abraham received when Abraham was here. For the scripture says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26. And then Luke 17:30, as it was in the days of Lot, in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So we know when he revealed himself unto Abraham, he revealed himself just before the destruction of Sodom, just before the judgment fell, just before judgment came upon the Sodomites. God revealed himself to Abraham in the form of a man. And we know that what God did is that God came down and he actually picked up a handful of dust, Brother Bam said, and he blew air into that dust and it created a body. Now we understand that that body is not a part of the Godhead. That body is not kinfolk to you and I. The body of Melchizedek could not have been a kinsman redeemer because it wasn't born the same way you was born. If the fall came by a woman disbelieving the word, in order to restore the fall back to your original position, it's got to come back through a woman to be kinfolks to you and I. So the body of Melchizedek could not have been your redeemer. The body of Melchizedek could not feel what you feel and know the suffering and the temptations that you know. It was a body temporary. Rarely used by God to reveal himself through the office of Son of Man to Abraham. Now once he steps into that body got hungry like a man. That body got thirsty like a man. That body could even get tired like a man. Because we know that Jehovah was veiled in that flesh body. Even so much that when Brother Brown began to refer to the ministry of the Son of Man, he begins to tell us in the message of who is this Melchizedek. He said, remember that Melchizedek came to Abraham, and then that same Melchizedek became Jesus Christ. Well, but David, don't you believe that Melchizedek was Jesus? I sure don't, but I do believe that that Melchizedek actually became Jesus Christ. What do you mean by that? Because you got to know who this Melchizedek is. Melchizedek had no father, had no mother, no beginning of days, and no ending of life. Whenever Melchizedek got, God got done with that body of Melchizedek, he created it from the dust of the earth and went right back down to the dust of the earth. Amen. Brother, so we know who that Melchizedek is and we know who Jesus is. But I want to know who is this Melchizedek. Because we know the mystery of Melchizedek can only be revealed underneath the opening of the seven seals. What is the mystery of Melchizedek? The power of an endless life. I said the power of an endless life. Oh, brother, I don't know about you, but that's the seed I got in me. It is an endless life. When this life is over, I'm going to fly away. Amen. Now every time the Son of Man ministry shows up, it does the same thing. It does something for his people. Anytime the Son of Man reveals himself, it comes to do something for the bride. We know that Melchizedek Elohim gave Abraham and Sarah a body change message. And then when it showed up the second time, it produced a resurrection. So if the minister of the Son of Man can produce a body change the first time and produce a resurrection the second time, then what can it produce today? If we believe he's Malachi 3, he's got any changes not. If we believe he's Hebrews 13:8, he's the same yesterday and forever. Do we not believe that if that ministry shows up, it's got to do the same thing every time? Brother, I just believe if it calls a body change at the first of the book, it called a resurrection in the middle of the book. Well, not it calls a body change and a resurrection at the end of the book. Hallelujah. He reveals himself as Son of Man. Now here in St. John chapter 11, I'm going to try to hurry, got a lot to bring. You say amen fast and I'll preach fast. We see that Lazarus has died. And the scripture tells us that Jesus loved Lazarus. But he also loved Mary and Martha. Now John 11:5 says Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now notice, these ain't just strangers to him. He loves these people. Amen. And here Lazarus, we know, gets real sick. And of course, Martha and Mary, they're concerned about their brother because he keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And so they did what every other believer would do. When they find themselves right in the middle of a trial, right in the middle of a test, the best thing they know to do is to call Jesus on the scene. And Barry said, that's what every believer does. Come on, somebody. He said, that's what every, we know they're believers because they call Jesus on the scene. Brother, that's the right thing to do no matter where you're at, what you're going through, how down you are. When you get to that place, the best thing you can do is go ahead and just call Jesus on the scene. I might as well let God deal with this. Let God handle this. I've got to call him on the scene. Now, Jesus, he knows that Lazarus is sick. He's aware that Lazarus is sick. And he knows that he's dying. 11:6. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So Jesus, when he hears he's sick, he doesn't just jump up and start running around. Oh my, I better get down to the Lazarus. I've got to hurry and get there. That's not what he does. He waits 2 more days. And now Lazarus is dead. Had that been your pastor, what would you have done? Brother, if that would have been your pastor, you took your name off the church book, you took the pew that you bought, you packed it out of this building, you would have run him down and talked bad about it. Had that been your pastor, what would you have said about him? By that sorry outfit, I called after him and I called after him and he heard me. They told me he got the message. They told me that he heard that Lazarus was sick, but he refused to come to the hospital and pray. Man, I wish Brother Donnie was here to hear that. I'd get some kind of offering this morning, wouldn't I? Sometimes we think pastors are superhumans. But they're mortals just like you. They got families just like you. They get hungry just like you. They get tired just like you. Amen, somebody. They fight trials just like you. They get discouraged just like you. They get weary just like you. It amazes me, out of all the things that a pastor can do right, you let him do something that you don't like. I mean, he can do good for 45 years, let him do one thing wrong, and he's the most sorriest thing there ever has been. Amen, Brother David, preach. Go ahead, I'm with you, brother. Notice Lazarus is dead, and Jesus knowed he was dying. Jesus knowed he was fixing to die. But now he's dead, and he's gone. Looks hopeless. But just depends on what kind of hope you got. Drop down to St. John 11:19. Now Jesus doesn't come immediately, but Jesus lingers, oh God, right where he was at for a couple more days. Well, I can't believe he would do something like that. Jesus is led by the Spirit. And Brother Aaron said, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Every son of God must be led by the Holy Spirit. He abided in the same place, verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Mary and Martha had left their synagogues. They left their temples. They said, we believe this man called Jesus, and we're following this ministry wherever he goes, whatever he does, we're standing right beside him. But now they called for Jesus, and Jesus has not showed up. But here comes them old church folks. Amen, Brother David. Now they've come out of their churches. They've come out of her. They've come out of her. They've come out of their organization. They've come out of their denomination. They've come out of their legalism. They've come away from the law. And here come the law creeping back in. Now they're following Jesus, but here comes the Jews to comfort them. Can you imagine the reproach that it is against Jesus? Here come these Jews. Oh, Martha, we are here for you. We love you so much. We care about you so much. We're here to help you. We're here to comfort you. Oh, my. Come here, let me just pat you on the back. You've always been so good. You've always been a wonderful person, Mary. I just love you so much. We are here for you. Now, Jesus may not be here. He may not be nowhere around, but we're here for you, Mary and Martha. We don't know where old Jesus is, but we are here. In your desperate hour, we are here. No doubt they're thinking in our mind, no, he ain't here, because you can't fake this. Lazarus is really dead. That old phony, that old liar, he's really dead, and he's scared to come down here. Martha, we know you left our organization. We know you left our denomination. But we're not mad about it. Well, just come on back to the church. The church accepts you with open arms. Oh my, we got programs that can help you. We got a kind old priest you can confess to. Anything you have need of, we're here. Oh, we got missionary programs. We got food programs. We got, oh my, we got great psychologists that can help you about this leaving of your brother. We open our arms to welcome you back. No doubt the Jews are whispering among themselves. I knew he wasn't nothing but a false prophet. That old liar, I knew there was something wrong with this. It's amazing how spiritual people get after the fact. Well, brother, be careful. I'm going to try to. But it's amazing how spiritual people get after the fact. I mean, you let somebody fall around this man. I knew there was something wrong with that man. I always knew it. Oh, if you always knew it, why didn't you say it before it ever happened? Oh, people get so spiritual, even around this message. We got so many spiritual people. On my way to church today, I saw seven doves sitting on the line. We're going to have a real good service. Please tell me you saw them today. Because what happens when you don't see them? You get depressed, you get down, you get weary. We don't seek it after signs. We look for the revealed word of the hour. The word is our hope. The word is what we trust in. Jesus is dead. Oh my. Or Lazarus rather is dead. And here they are complaining. But right when they start doubting his coming. Right when they start complaining and say, where is the coming? Little did they know, Jesus was on the way. Hallelujah. I said Jesus was on the way. When the doubters started coming around, Jesus was on the way. When unbelief began to stir up in the age, Jesus was on the way. Jesus, I'm saying Jesus was coming. That's what they say in this hour, for Peter says it like this, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. And they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all these things continue just like it was when the day he created it. Amen. Everything's just as sure today. I mean, it's taxes, death, the grave, whatever. It's just as sure today as it has always been since the beginning. But what they failed to recognize is who's on his road. Amen. I said they have not recognized the mighty God. Now Martha and Mary has come out of her, but these people are still stuck in their ideas and they don't realize what's happening right now among them. Then Peter goes on to say, but the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. I said amen to that. Because Jesus will keep his word. He comes at the right season, at the right time, at the right day, just when you need him, brother. So they're doubting the word. Now watch. Martha and Mary had begun to call for Jesus. They begin in the time of desperation, they was calling out for the coming of Jesus. I said, during the time of the squeeze, Martha and Mary was calling out for the coming of the Lord. See where I'm going, don't you? Now notice the Bible says in John 11:17, that when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Jesus ain't on your time. He's not on Martha's time. He's not on Mary's time. He comes as the Father leads him. Remember, Abraham picks the scripture up many times. He said Jesus never did nothing unless the Father showed him. Now, Jesus' whole life was moved by vision. He is operating by vision of the Lord. And when he comes, brother, you can go ahead and start rejoicing. If Jesus shows up, something's going to happen. Something's going to take place when Jesus shows up. Then when Jesus came, he found he'd already been laying in the grave 4 days. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard, I love that. Soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Brother Ram says it like this, not I sent thee 62. Mary, she was aware that he was after a while. Now Mary, they had been saying that she was dilatory in things about keeping her house clean. But when the showdown came, she showed her color. Why, she ain't worried about the word. She's more worried about making beds. She's more worried about boiling coffee. She's more worried about getting something to eat and making sure this is right, making sure the house is clean, everything's just right. But when the showdown came, the true colors come out. Come on, I expect a housewife to say amen. Brother, I want to say this. You may have to make breads, my sister. You may have to cook supper. But little does the devil know, underneath your voice, you are saying, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And I'm waiting and watching for the day. She's keeping the house, but when the showdown came, she showed her color. Mary was sitting weeping because her brother was dead. But Martha went out to meet the... Now look at Martha. She runs out to meet the living word. But Mary sits still in the house. But when Martha heard Jesus was coming, she left the house, glory, when she heard Jesus was coming. Now I'm not very smart, but if she heard Jesus was coming, they must have been a little noise going on. Amen. I said when Jesus comes around, there's always a lot of noise. When the word comes in, brother, you can't help but make some noise. It may be a cry, it may be a whimper, it may be a shout, but there's going to be some noise. Now notice she hears Jesus is coming. And all of a sudden now she's moved into action when she heard Jesus was coming. And faith cometh by and hearing by the word. So the word was being heard and she was coming to meet the word. Hallelujah. Now not just any word, she was coming to meet the living word. She's not coming looking for a promise of 300 years ago or 600 years. She comes to meet the living word for her day. She ran out to meet him. Now watch her attitude. Verse 20, the Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, watch this approach. Lord. Whew. She didn't come after you sorry outfit. I can't imagine you supposed to be a man of God and you didn't come the first time I called you. You didn't get my text. You didn't get my email. What do you think you're doing? She would have never got nothing from Jesus with that attitude. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, what's her faith? Had you been here, my brother would not have died. Look at her faith in the word. Had you been here, death would have been stopped in its tracks. Come on, somebody. Had you been here, that sickness would not have taken his life. And she doesn't even stop there. But she goes on. She says, but I know. She's heard. She's recognized. And she's got the revelation of the hour. But she said, I'm not guessing. I'm not wondering about this. I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Yes, it's a hard time. Yes, it's a trying time. Yes, it's a dark time. But I know that Lazarus is rotting in a grave out there. But Lord, even now, whatsoever you ask. That ought to be our confession this morning. But Ram says like this in the message gifts in Brooklyn. Maybe you've been in the hospital. Maybe the doctor says you're going to die. But even now, Lord, you can speak to him. He's sitting on the right hand of God, making intercession upon your confession. The doctor says, I'm going to die. But even now, Lord, whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. You say, they tell me I'll never see again. I'm blind. But even now, Lord, whatsoever, oh glory, whatsoever you ask God, he'll give it to you. He's a high priest of your confession, sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession upon what you profess. And you've got the right to profess any redemptive blessing he died for. He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquity, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes were healed. Even now, Lord, I don't care what the doctor says, what science says, but even now, Lord, whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. You believe it. Even now, whatever you ask him, he will do it. Watch what the prophet ends with. Something's got to happen. Something's got to move. Something's got to happen when you ask. Something's got to take place. That's not maybe or might be. Something's going to happen. Lord, if you'd come 4 days ago, this wouldn't have been near as bad as it is right now. Lord, have mercy. I mean, you know, had you been here, that mindset comes around our message as well. Oh, my boy, Brother Brown was just here. Boy, I tell you what he could do with this cancer. And I want to remind you, that's a wicked confession. I said, that's a wicked confession. Oh, Paul was just here. Oh, man, and Luther could still be here. If Brother Bennett was still here, I know what he could do. That's a wicked confession. Because you're looking to a God of history. And your faith has not been anchored in a living word of the hour that you're living in. Right now, you have denied Hebrews 13:8. You've denied Malachi 3. Better watch what your confession is. There's a righteous confession, but then there's a wicked confession. But our confession is, even now. I said the bride's confession was even now, Lord. Friend, when you face sickness, this ought to be your confession, even now. When you face disease, even now, Lord, whatever you ask, Lord, whatever, oh my, if I can appropriate the faith to believe that he's able and more than able, will not God move upon that confession and answer it? Brother Bram said, persevere. Your faith can touch him. He can take an office in the church and speak right back through them lips. I believe this because I've witnessed this. And you have too. He can tell you exactly. He done the same work he did when he was here on earth. He promised to do it, and he's doing it again. Persevere. Notice how Martha said, even now, whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. Listen to this. Boy, the cogs begin to come together then. Faith begin to meet with God. It's just like putting the negative and the positive together. You're going to get light pretty soon. You ever had your car battery go dead? And you let that battery sit dead about 4 days. Yeah, that was pre-planned. About 4 days. You take a vehicle that's got power in it. Hallelujah. And you take a set of faith, I mean jumper cables. And you hook them jumper cables from the vehicle that has power to the vehicle that does not have power. And you hook that up. If you left the light on and caused your battery to go dead, that light comes back on. If your door is open, the old buzzer begins to ding, 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 ding. You know why? Power is coming into that car. The reason, oh glory, but the reason why is because it found another dunamis, and that dunamis hooked up to your dunamis, which was dead at that time, and it began to allow the flow of the power of the battery to come into that other car, and whoom, the engine starts. Brother, you come to the house of God. You may be dead. Oh, you may have been dead 4 days this week, but let the cables of faith hook up into your life and watch it come to power. Remember that man when Brother Ram was preaching? That man kept running up there and grabbing hold of Brother Ram's coattail, shaking Brother Ram's coattail over and over again. He said, Brother Ram, I'm sorry I was doing that. He said, what you don't understand is, he said, I was sitting there, my battery was going dead. And I had to get up to get a little bit of a charge. That's the way faith works. You connect it over into God and He'll restore your power. Brother, that's a preaching, saying thought there. And I said, you let your faith hook over into God. He'll restore your faith. He'll restore your power. He'll restore your marriage. He'll restore your home. He'll restore your life. He'll bring your faith back to the original power of God. But some people, they don't know how to hook jumper cables up. I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult when you're reading here. Well, I don't know how in the world I'm going to do it. Some people hook up and put the positive on the negative and the negative on the positive. And all they get's a bunch of sparks. Thank you, Lord. That is so good. Pentecost, they thought they had it, man. Hey, God, down there, we're going to show you some power. We're really going to show you some power. And they hook them up backwards, man. It sparks. They jump. They flop on the floor. They roll around. But all they got sparks. But when you hook this power up into the dynamo of the bride of Jesus Christ, it'll take you from earth right over into glory. As a matter of fact, the prophet said, the dynamics of this church is a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Woo, I need more than sparks. I need a power to get me from one dimension to another one. I need some power to get me out of this world. Amen, Brother Michael. I need something that can get me up on Monday, keep me rejoicing on Wednesday, keep me shouting on Saturday. Where did I get hung up at? But I know that even now, whatever thou ask of God, He'll give it to thee. I love this. Now watch the word. Starts prophesying. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. And Martha said unto him, now watch. When you start trying to figure things out by an ecclesiastical mind, and you're understanding, well, I read over here in Job, I read over here in Abraham, I read this. And you start trying to, oh, Lord, I know. I've heard that sermon before. I heard all of them quotes before. I've heard this message before. I know He's going to rise in the last days. You missed the revelation. I said, you missed the revelation. Don't you see, friends, that's exactly what they've done with the message of the hour. They missed the revelation. They kept looking to the future. They kept looking for the past. But they missed what God was doing among them. Glory! Martha was talking about a general resurrection. She was talking about a future event. She was talking about something that was to come. She was preaching things that are to be. But the resurrection is not just an event. It's a person. It is a person. The resurrection of the dead is a person. It is a person. For Jesus says, you're talking about a resurrection. You're looking for a resurrection. But I am that resurrection. Well, they said, I know He shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus is saying, why are you waiting? Why are you looking in the future? Why can't you believe it for right now? And Jesus said unto her, I am that resurrection. I'm the life, and he that believeth in me. Martha, you believe that, don't you? Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he asked Martha, believest thou this? Now think about it. He's asking a good question. He tells her, I'm what you're looking for. And then he asks, do you believe I'm what you're looking for? Now watch, he's unfolding the mystery of his coming in this little story. I said he's revealing the secret of his coming right in the middle of this story. Listen, friends, he didn't just come to comfort Martha. He's not there just to be a comforter. I'm preaching this age. He's not here just to be your comforter, though he said he would be. Because when Jesus shows up, that's the only real comfort that anybody has.
But Jesus ain't come to mourn with them. Jesus ain't just come to weep with them. He come to raise Lazarus from the dead. He come to bring a resurrection of Lazarus.
I ain't come just to cry with you, Martha. I've come in this dark Laodicean hour, this dark time. I've come for the resurrection. Now look what he's doing. He's restoring her faith from a future event to a present tense truth. Everybody see what I'm preaching today? He's taking her faith away from a pie in the sky someday. Oh my, we just keep looking way off for it. He's taking it, making it more than just something that's coming. He's letting you know he's here from that time, 1962. Brother Bram said, my ministry is not to declare he's coming. My ministry is to declare he is here. He come to take her faith back to a resurrected Lazarus. God, that's rich. He come to elevate her faith to a higher realm. Oh, can I say it like this? He come to take her from mourning and from weeping to a living word. He come to restore her faith back to the original life of Lazarus. He come to take her not to a dead Lazarus, not to a rotten, decaying Lazarus. He come to take her faith back to a Lazarus that can stand, a Lazarus that can speak. Glory! Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said, oh yes, Lord. Amen. Salah. So be it. Glory to God. Let it be. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which has come into the world. In other words, she punctuated the word with an amen. Now watch. Lazarus is dead. And here is Martha and Mary, which are alive and remain. Huh? Let me get this straight now. Here comes the living word to the bride. I mean Martha and Mary, which are alive and remain. So you got the living word coming to the bride, and you got the dead in the graves. And now you got the living word of God calling out for Mary. Oh, come on. That's good right there. That's good preach. I don't care who you are. Think about it. Here is the living word calling for Martha and for Mary. For whenever Martha heard he was coming, she went out to meet the word. But now, what's the revelation? But now Martha receives the revelation. Because all the secrets now has come to Martha. So Martha is full of the revelation of the hour. And she don't just go around just sit on her hands and twiddle her thumbs. But Martha takes that revelation and she begins to run with it. That's right. She goes to Poland. She goes to Mexico. She goes to Africa. She goes to Brazil. She goes to Argentina. She goes to Chile. She goes to Paraguay. That's where I got sick at. But now she's not just sitting with this revelation. She's got into action. Let me tell you what I'm preaching. She's not just sitting with the message of the resurrection waiting on something. She's running with the revelation of the resurrection. Now watch what Jesus is going to do. The word is revealed to Mary. And somewhere, oh my, the wording ain't there exactly the way he said it. It's not there. It's not in written form what he exactly said unto her. God have mercy. But I'll tell you what she did after she heard. She went her way and called Mary her sister. We have no record. If him saying, now I want to tell you what I want you to do. Now that I've told you this, I want you to go down there and get married, and you tell her this and this and this, you tell her I'm called. But notice something about this resurrection message. It puts her into action now that she's received the mystery of the word. And once she receives the mystery of God's word, now she's going and calling for Mary, her sister. And the Bible says
She said so. Oh my, when she had so said, she went her way and called. Sounds like Martha, but it's really the voice of Jesus. Can you handle that? Is that too much on you, Agin? I said she's packing the words. She's packing the living word within her being. Yes, the articulation of her voice, it sounds like Martha. It may look like Martha, but the word was more than Martha. It was Christ in Martha. Glory! It may look like Donnie Reagan. It may preach like Donnie Reagan. But when you hear the words of God, it ain't Donnie's words. It's God's word to you. You see the mannerisms of a man. You see the human emotions. But beneath the mystery of God's word, it's the voice. Amen. It's the secret voice of the living word calling for a resurrection. Can you imagine when I found this week how I acted? You want to know why I leave my family? And I've been gone for weeks at a time? It's because I'm packing this message. I said, I'm packing the mystery of this message. And if there's a wayward son somewhere, if there's a dead Lazarus somewhere, let me find him. Now notice, I got to hurry. Let me check my clock. All right, 10 more minutes. Let me give me 5 more minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. That's no Pentecostal trick, ain't it? Amen. Well, you said so. She went her way. The master's come and calleth thee. She went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly. First pull, public show. Second pull, public show. But the third pull ain't going to be a public show this time. It's going to be a secret. He ain't going to say it openly because he ain't going to let the devil catch it this time. The rest of them just were impersonated. But this last one will not be impersonated because the devil won't be able to figure it out. You've got to be initiated into the kingdom of God with the right seat to receive the right secret at the right day. Amen. Look out, man. Whew. I just about flew out of his pulpit right here. Well, I felt like Brother Donnie the other day. I leave here and end up out there somewhere. She come to her sister secretly saying, what's the message of the hour? Tell me, what's the secret? The master's here. Now think about it. Martha catches this revelation, and here she comes into where Mary is at. The Jews has gathered around Mary. Oh, come back to our church. Come back to our synagogue. We love you so much. We care about you so much. I mean, I know our priests don't preach like your preacher, but your preacher's crazy. Your preacher goes to the place. He picks up mud and spits in it. Oh, my, he talks about things ain't nobody got no idea what he's even saying. Martha. What is it? Let's come away from the crowds. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's come away from the crowd of people. Why don't you come in here privately? Into this secret place. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, I got a message for you. What's your message, bride? I mean, Martha. The master's here. And he wants you. You're sure that's what he said? That's what he said. Who did you say he wanted? He wants you. But what have I ever done? What have I ever done for God? I ain't never done nothing.
Oh, I'm useless, no count, no good for nothing. Nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. My dog won't even play with me.
Barry, won't you? Are you sure he said my name? I sat there and heard it. He said he wants you, Barry. As a matter of fact, he called for you. He called you by name. Amen! He called you by name, Mary! He didn't say Methodist, he didn't say Baptist, he didn't say Episcopalian or Presbyterian. He called you by name. Once the mystery began to unfold and the mystery began to be revealed, your name was called under that mystery, Mary. The rapture, message 65, I got to quit. The first thing comes forth is his message, calling the bride together. The next thing is the resurrection of the sleeping bride. The master's come and call us. Now watch, the first thing he's got to do, he's got to gather up Martha. He's got to gather together Mary with Martha, and when the living saints get together. Amen! When the bride gets together, it's time for the dead in Christ to rise. Amen! Father, don't you see, you've heard the shout of the hour. That's why you're in this building this morning. Oh, I got to quit preaching and preach. The first thing come forth is his message, calling the bride together. The next thing is the resurrection of the sleeping bride. The ones that died back in the other ages, they're caught together. I love the way he said that. Caught. They're caught together. And then the trumpet, the feast in the heavens and the sky. Well, that's the thing that takes place, friends, again. 152. Verse says, now it's the first thing is the sounding. The first thing is a shout. And then a voice. And then a trumpet. Can you imagine all this lays in John 11? In mystery form. A shout is a messenger getting the people ready. A second is the voice of the resurrection. And it's the same voice. Preach, Brother David. It's the same voice. Don't miss the revelation now. Jesus come and called Martha. And Martha heard by faith. And faith coming by hearing, she ran out and met the word. And the next thing that happens is she took that same quickened word into her heart and revealed it over to Mary. It's still his voice. It's just a different form. I'd clear that runway back here, brothers. Amen. It may be different. Oh my, the vocal cords may be different, but the voice of the word is still the same. The second is the voice of the resurrection. The same voice. Now watch what he says right here. And if you don't like loud preachers, I'm sorry. It's a loud voice. Well, you know loud preachers are going to read loud quotes. Duh. Sure we are. I just can't find where he said when he whispering preachers. I know everybody don't like loud preachers. I know some people like quiet preachers. Hey, man, I'd love to be like Eddie Biscoe that could stand here and sling the six-gun shooter at you left and right and never get excited and hardly raise my voice. But I ain't wired that way. But I thank God we got men that are. I just preached for a church last week. Brother Joe Hare was there on Wednesday night, and they come tell me how great Brother Joe did. Man, it was wonderful. He just done an outstanding job. And me and Brother Joe's about as different as two red shoes and a white shoe. But they still caught the word. I got to preach. A loud voice, St. John 11, 38 through 44. Is that what that quote says? that called Lazarus from the grave, getting the bride together, then the resurrection of the dead to be caught up with now. Watch the three things take place. The next is what? It's a trumpet. There's a shout, there's a voice, and there's a trumpet. So the same voice that called Mary, the same voice that called Martha, is the same voice that called Mary, is the same voice that called Lazarus, is the same voice that calls the Jews. Amen! The same voice from the same God. Don't you see that's the secret? It's always been the voice of God. Don't you know what this message is? It's the bridegroom's call. Proven his word, 1964, on the day of Son of Man, reveal what? To join the church to the, no, to join the church to the head, to unite the marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through him. It will come right through him. And the church said, amen. Now let's look at our setting. We got sleeping saints in the grave, Lazarus. He's already dead. He's dead. He graveyard dead. His nose is gone. His eyeballs has been swallowed by the worms. And here comes the ministry of the Son of Man, oh glory, among the living saints. And then we got Martha and Mary, which has come out of denominations, and she's ran out to meet the Word of God. They've left their church to follow this ministry that we believe in right now. And now here comes the living Word in the darkest hour to meet the bride. And when Martha hears that Jesus is coming, he interrupted her mourning. I hate for my coffee to be interrupted in the morning. But in this case, I guarantee you, Martha was glad her morning warm cup of coffee or her tea, whatever you drink, it got interrupted by the living Word coming to her house personally. Amen. He come forth. They called for him. They called for the rapture. And now the rapture has come right among them. Looks like no hope. Looks like Laodicea. Amen. Laodicea, oh, it would love just to snuff your life out. But whenever she heard the word coming, she ran out to meet him. Brother, aren't you glad you heard the word when it was coming? Now, resurrection's coming. In the form of a man. Oh, glory. Amen. And now Martha unites with the living word. And you and I, Brother Ramsey said, we've got to have rapturing faith to be ready. For when the voice comes to call the dead from the grave, we must have rapturing faith at that time. And that's what the message does for you and I, the message of the Son of Man. It gets the bride ready to meet the living word, to leave this dimension and go to another one. Mary meets him. Martha's still in the house. Martha's been united. Her faith's been restored back to the original living word. Amen. Mary's still in there weeping. She's crying. Oh, she's got those professional criers right among them. They'd hire professional criers to come among them just to weep with you. I want to say something right there, but I'm going to be nice. All of a sudden, he tells her, I'm here. He goes past the thoughts of just a kind old priest. He goes past telling them about a God of yesterday or a God tomorrow. He goes past all the organizational views. And he comes in a way like a thief in the night, secret coming to a secret bride. And Martha comes in with the revelation of the hour because she had met the living word face to face. Amen, somebody. Oh, Mary might be lagging behind, but let me just say this. Jesus didn't forget about Mary. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. I don't know how, brother, sister, that don't even worry me where you're at, just to be honest with you, because if you ain't in, you're eventually going to get in. You might be playing around on God, but God's going to get a hold of you because he can't forget about you. God can't forget about one son. He can't forget about one daughter. He can't forget about you. You know why? Your names are inscribed on the palms of his hands. He cannot forget about you, my brother or sister. The master's coming, calleth thee. John 11:28. Drop down to verse 29. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Quickly. Because it's a quick work. That was good right there, wasn't it? So the message calls her by name. She had ears to hear. She had eyes to see. She had a heart to believe. And now notice, Jesus is gathering them together, and it's the Master's call that gathers them. But the Bible says in John 11:30, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. In other words, the same place where Martha caught the revelation. God ain't got no grandchildren. You've got to meet the living Word in the same place under the same revelation where Martha met him at. Brother, you've got to meet him at the same place. The same place where Martha met him. The same place the revelation comes. You've got to meet him in the same exact place. And the Jews which were with her in the house comforted her when they saw Mary. She rose up hastily. She's gone. Now I want you to watch these different revelations. And they and hastily went out, and they followed her, saying, "She's going to the grave to weep." She ain't going to no grave yet. She's got to meet the living Word first. What they don't know, she's got a mystery that they don't know nothing about. She's heard her name called. She heard the Word call her name personally. And she's going to meet the Word. She's going down there to weep with the tomb. We might as well go weep with her at the tomb. She's such a terrible day. I can't believe that sorry outfit if you only know how our heart is hurting. Their understanding's wrong. Because they're thinking about a funeral. But we ain't come for no funeral. We come for the resurrection. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come, where Jesus was. Where's he at? Same place Martha left him. Because there's only one provided place to worship. And every believer's got to meet him in that same place. There ain't no such thing as a substitute birth, brother. I'm telling you, there ain't no way around it. Ye must be born again. Heareth thou myth, pleaseth. You got to get the Holy Ghost up. And if you don't get the Holy Ghost up, you're going to be left heareth. King James Version. You got to have it to leave here. Verse 32, when Martha was come where Jesus was and she saw him. I love that. She fell down at his feet, saying to him, same revelation, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Same revelation. Look, she recognized who he was. You're the Messiah. You're the living Word. You're Jesus Christ. And she knew that death could not touch Lazarus had Jesus, the Word, been standing there, because the Word would have called it off of him. But now she's caught it. And it's time for the dead to be raised. Wow. We got some blood kin over there in that tomb. I said, we got some blood kin over here in the graves. Hallelujah, somebody. They had some blood relations over there in that tomb waiting on them. Brother, after the bride is gathered together, the season of the resurrection moves among them. We got brethren from this age all the way back to the first ages laying in the tombs. And I believe with all of my heart that the dead in Christ shall rise. I said the dead are going to rise. They're going to come from that dimension back into this dimension that we're living in right now. Amen! They leave here and they go to a theophany, but we're stuck in a flesh body. But they come from the theophany back to the earth to get a flesh body. You get a theophany body. With a flesh body, you get a glorified body. But we got to take this body over there and then connect with that theophany. And we're already doing it because Brother Evans said, when you recognize this message as eagle food, you heard from your theophany. The dead in Christ is going to come right back from the grave. Amen. And the first shall be last and the last shall be first. They went down to the grave down through every age. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But the morning of the resurrection, they're going to come out 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off. They'll come out of the graves. You know, Brother Brown said it, don't you? Okay. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, Watch verse 33. I'll hurry. The Jew who's also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit. He's troubled. Jesus groans. But why is Jesus groaning? The question is, why did Jesus groan? In the breach, when something's lost, it's groaning, trying to get back glory to its original state, condition. Would you imagine someone falling from the earth down to a deep pit somewhere, struggling, climbing? They must be by some means to get out of the pit. They're not in their original state. They're frantically, they're screaming, they're clawing the walls, making a noise, doing some way. They're groaning because they're trying, they want to get back to their original state. Jesus starts groaning because he looks at a man who is not in his original condition. He's not in the state he ought to be. So Jesus begins to groan within himself. Remember, Paul picks it up in the scripture and said that nature's groaning. He said, everything's groaning. What for, Paul? The manifestation of the sons of God. Jesus groans. Oh my. But because there's eternal life inside of that body of Lazarus, and there's eternal life standing there with the voice to call him from the grave. Hallelujah, somebody. Because Lazarus is dead, Jesus is groaning, proves to us that there's a body that cannot decay. There's a body that can't get sick. There's a body that can't die because Jesus groaned. Walks down to that grave. Loved him so much. Man, he was such a good friend. He's just a wonderful brother. Do you know what's fixing to happen? Jesus, do you know what's fixing to happen? Yeah, I do. But I loved him so much. Whew. The compassion of Jesus. The humanity of Jesus. And the love of Jesus. A man had been dead 4 days. And Jesus says, I'll tell you what I want you to do, bride. Roll that stone out of the way. But Lord, I was just hoping we could just sit around and drink Pepsi all day. I was hoping we'd go eat cotton candy and just twiddle our thumbs. Mm-mm. Roll the stone away. I don't want to roll it. You know how bad he stinks? Roll it away. Amen. And they rolled the stone away. And Jesus spoke to a man who'd been dead 4 days. Because of tradition, he goes beyond tradition. Tradition said man might fake it for 2 or 3 days, but 4 days? Mm-hmm. Jesus goes beyond tradition. And the voice of the resurrection. We've heard the shout, but the voice calls Lazarus from the dead. So Lazarus comes forth, and Jesus says, loose him and let him go. Brother Ram says in the rapture 1965, the third thing is a trumpet, which always at the feast of the trumpets is calling the people to the feast. And that'll be the bride's supper. I know you're thinking, how's he going to tie this out? Hang on. They call the people to the feast, and that'll be the bride's supper, the lamb's supper with the bride in the sky. The first thing that comes forth is this message, calling the bride together. The next thing's the resurrection of the sleeping bride, the one that died back there in the other ages. They caught together, and the trumpet, the feast in the heavens, in the sky. Why, that's the thing that takes place, friends. So we've heard the shout. We've recognized the voice of the resurrection. And the last thing is the trumpet. St. John 12:1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Hallelujah! There they made him a... And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. A man that had been dead was rose from the dead and sat at the table at the supper with Jesus. Master has come, and he calleth thee. He calleth thee. Let's stand to our feet this morning as our musicians come. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. You go right from John chapter 11, right down to John chapter 12. You move from the shout right to the voice. And the last thing is the wedding supper in the sky. Oh, brother, we're living in the season of the rapture of the church. We're living underneath the ministry. You believe this with all of our hearts. Right now, a living ministry that's going to call the dead plumb out of the graves. Don't you see how your life is so entwined into the revealed word, the mystery of this hour? Don't you, Brother Reverend, say when the bride recognizes who she is, the bride will go. Don't you see? Your life plays a significant part in this part of the word. It's connected with you, and he can't move on till you get in your place. And when Mary heard him, she ran quickly. For the Master has come and calleth thee. And then the voice of the resurrection. Brother Reverend says it like this in Seven Church Ages. I'm going to read this to you just before we start singing. Oh, his great glorious presence shall strike the earth. Hallelujah. He cometh in clouds. Oh, I love that. Clouds, there will be wave after wave of his glory will come across this earth. And the resurrection of the saints shall come. When that blessed Holy Spirit that lived in their hearts, glory, they die with their corpses laying there and the tears and stains over their cheeks and things like that. They're placed out in a graveyard. A great wave of that same Spirit and whoosh, wave after wave. He that was last will be first and he was first will be last. How can it be that way? That's the order of the resurrection. I won't know nobody in the generation before me, the generation after me. I'll know those in the generation of this. And every generation will come forth successfully right as it went down. They which were last will be first. Sure, it has to be. I'll know my people. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Brother Dave, you preach and return ministry? No, I'm telling you the ministry ain't never left. Amen. I said it ain't never left. Glory. Glory. Amen. The next follow my dad will come in his people, his grandfather, his people on down like that. Wave after wave after wave after wave after wave after wave.
Hallelujah.
Them saints are rising from everywhere. Won't that be wonderful? Watch the way Brother Branham ends this. Don't that make us old folks feel good?
Amen.
The next place Brother Branham says that is the breach. When Brother Ram's talking about how that we've grown within ourselves, we got the seal of redemption until we got the seal until the day of our redemption or till the day that the book of redemption comes open. And then Brother Ram says, woo, don't that make us old folks feel good? Why are you feeling so good? It's the season of the resurrection. It ain't a sermon, brother. It's a living reality. You're part of this mystery. You're part of this going away. You've got to recognize who you are. You've got to see what you are in this word. Oh, praise God. Our God is awesome. Could we sing that together? How awesome is he tonight? How in his word so good? Whew. Brother, you couldn't have went down. Our God is awesome. I said he's awesome. Awesome. I love you, Lord. My God is awesome. Oh, he is awesome. Awesome. My God is awesome. Oh, my God is awesome. Why don't you just go ahead and lift your hand? Lord, I believe this message. I've heard from the voice of the Son of Man. I'm a part of the end time mystery. I'm a part of the catching away. My God is awesome. I said he's awesome. Yes, awesome. My God, he's awesome. My God is awesome. He can move the mountain.
I'm talking about the Redeemer, the voice of the resurrection among us. Why didn't we recognize the mighty God was here? Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad you got eyes to see, ears to hear what the Spirit is saying? Oh, brother, it's not just Bible stories. They're written there with a mystery laying behind it. And it's calling you by name because the Master, He is come. Amen, somebody. See, Brother David, He's already coming. We're not waiting on the coming. Oh, no, I'm waiting on the corporal body. I'm going to meet it in the air. But He has come. And He is coming. And He is here. He came on the day of Pentecost, but that wasn't the coming. He came on Sunset Mountain, but that wasn't the coming, but He did come. But the coming that He's talking about is where you and I meet our bridegroom right in the air. Brother, have you ever seen a combine? I'm from the flatlands of Arkansas. When they grow that wheat, and that winter wheat comes up and goes through spring, comes right into summer. Oh my, and the sun starts baking hot down on it. I mean, it shoots up from the ground and begins to sprout, and the shuck begins to separate from the seeds. Amen. And then once it gets ripened, the combine comes by. And it don't go all the way down to the ground because it don't want the husk. And it don't want the tassel. It just wants the wheat. So it meets that wheat as the wheat grows and matures. Hallelujah. It grows and it matures, and then the combine comes and meets that wheat seed right in the middle of the air. What happens then? Well, it gets carried around the field for just a little while while he's getting the rest of the seed together. Amen! Amen! While he's gathering the rest of the living group together. He gathers him, and there's just going to be a short period of time. He's going to go over to the garner, and he's going to dump you back where you originally belonged in the beginning. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. Trying to get him to shut up. He just won't shut up. Amen! Brother, just ride around, bump around for a little bit longer in this Laodicea. Bump around in the combine a little longer. He's fixing to take you back where you belong. Think of Brother Harry.
Day before yesterday.
Praise be to God. Oh, I feel him today.
Crucified my Lord. Praise be to God. Meet him unmercifully and nailed him to a tree. The sky grew dark and the earth began to fall. People cried, surely we've crucified the Son of God. Why didn't we recognize the Son of God was here today? Didn't our hearts burn as He talked along the way? Shouldn't we have known?
Hallelujah.
believes that you've known him. I don't care how long it's been. Just hold on a little bit longer. Just hold on a little bit longer. Just a few more days. If you've ever been down to the ocean, as Brother Louis gets ready to come, the waves start coming up against that bank. I just love sitting there just listening to them. I love walking up and down the beach, finding them big old shark's teeth. But you're down there, and wave after wave splashes up against that bank. I was just down in Mexico here not too long ago. I was down sitting up on the little rocky beach they had down there. And I was watching as the waves come in. And I thought, I can sit right here and I'll be all right. Something strange was going on. But so something got a hold of that wave. Brought it plumb up there where I was at. Splashed me and got me wet. I was trying to stay out of it. But I didn't go and get on it. It came up and got on me. That's what this message did. You may not have been looking for it. You may have thought you stayed far enough away from it. But it knew where you was at. And it come all the way up to where you was at and grabbed a hold of you. And dragged you right into it by the word of God. Well, I'm so glad that we recognize the Son.